Buying a home in New York City, it's always a financial adventure, isn't it? But then you focus on a place like Astoria, Queens, really hot market, moves fast, unique homes, and you really got to nail your strategy. Astoria is just an amazing neighborhood. Strong property values, fantastic transit, that rich culture. But for you listening right now, thinking about buying there, the first big decision is the money part. Which tool do you use? Is it that FHA loan, the accessible one, or the more powerful conventional loan?
That financing choice, it's absolutely foundational. In a market like Astoria, where honestly a few days can make or break getting the place you want, your loan type dictates more than just the long-term cost. It shapes your immediate competitiveness, like right now.
Right. And Astoria pulls in a lot of first-time buyers, doesn't it? Partly because it's, a bit more within reach compared to Manhattan or parts of Brooklyn. Median prices, what are we seeing? Maybe $750,000, $950,000, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, that sounds about right based on recent data. It offers a foothold. But crucially, Astoria has that really specific property mix you mentioned. Lots of condos, sure, multifamilies too,
Yeah.
but a huge number of co-ops.
Exactly. And that's our mission today, digging into the source materials you shared. We need to see how these FHA versus conventional loan rules play out with that specific inventory, in this super fast market. Because making the wrong call here, I mean, you could qualify for a loan, but maybe not for the actual apartment you want.
This really becomes a deep dive into competitiveness. We've got to look at like how the qualification standards, the cost of mortgage insurance, and the property eligibility itself, how all that affects your offer when you're up against maybe five other bids.
Okay, let's unpack this. Starting with the path that's often seen as designed for getting your foot in the door, the FHA loan. So this is financing insured by the Federal Housing Administration. Basically, it's meant to help out borrowers who might be, just starting out, maybe a lower credit score, not a super long credit history.
Right. The whole point of FHA is to reduce the risk for the lender. That allows them to say yes to folks who might not fit neatly into that traditional conventional loan box. Flexibility is the key word here. Our sources highlight that you could potentially qualify with a credit score down to 580, or maybe even lower, like 500 to 579, but usually with some extra conditions, like a bigger down payment.
And the debt-to-income ratio, how flexible is that?
Typically, it can go up to about 43%, so it still requires solid finances, but maybe a bit more wiggle room than some other options.
And the loan limits in Queens, they don't seem too restrictive for FHA. What was the number for 2025?
It's pretty high, actually. $11,149,825. Same the conventional conforming limit, interestingly enough. So yeah, FHA definitely opens the door to a pretty wide range of Astoria properties, price-wise.
That sounds really positive for access.
It is. It provides access. And that flexibility can sometimes extend to things like seller concessions, getting the seller to help cover closing costs. FHA often allows for more of that than conventional loans might, which, can be huge if you're a bit short on cash up front.
Okay, but there's always a but, isn't there? What's the catch with FHA?
The catch is the mortgage insurance, the MIP mortgage insurance premium.
Yeah.
And it's mandatory. It's not just a monthly thing either. You pay a chunk up front at closing and you pay it monthly.
Right, and that cost, it feels almost permanent sometimes. That's the big worry we hear, paying that insurance for like 30 years.
Well, almost permanent is a good way to put it. And this is where the source material gets pretty specific and it's important. For most borrowers, putting down the minimum, which is 3.5%, yes, that MIP sticks around for the entire life of the loan. But, and this is a big but, if you can manage to put down 10% or more, then that MIP can actually be removed after 11 years. That's a critical distinction. It means if getting in now is your priority, scraping together that 10% down makes FHA look, a lot more manageable financially in the medium term.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. That whole mandatory, potentially long-lasting insurance thing naturally leads us to the conventional loan. This is the one often favored by buyers who maybe have a stronger financial footing already, right? And they're focused on keeping those lifetime costs down.
Exactly. Conventional loans are sort of the market standard. They aren't backed by the government like FHA. Instead, they follow guidelines set by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Think of them as the mortgages built on, let's say, strength and stability.
And the requirements definitely reflect that stability. You generally need, what, a 620 minimum credit score?
Yeah, 620 is typically the floor to qualify. But honestly, to get the really good competitive interest rates, you'll probably need to be higher than that, often significantly higher.
Makes sense. And the debt-to-income ratio.
It's often a little more generous than FHA, maybe up to 45% in many cases. And like we said, the loan limit's the same high number, $11,149,825. $825 for Queens County in 2025.
So the big difference, the main advantage for conventional really comes down to the insurance situation again, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's the defining difference, the real financial leverage point. Look, if you put down less than 20% on a conventional loan, you'll likely pay private mortgage insurance, PMI. But, and here's the key, PMI is designed to be temporary.
Temporary how?
Once your loan balance drops to 80% of the home's original value, basically, once you've built up 20% equity, you can typically request to have that PMI canceled. It goes away.
That removability, that feels like the game changer. So yeah, conventional loans demand a stronger profile up front, maybe a bigger down payment to avoid PMI altogether. But the payoff is that potential freedom down the road. You can actually ditch that extra insurance payment, which is often much harder or impossible with FHA, unless you hit that specific 10% down, 11-year mark we talked about.
Exactly. What's fascinating now is how these two distinct paths collide with the specific reality of Astoria's housing stock. Because we're not just talking detached single-family homes here. We're dealing heavily with co-ops, right? And that's where the loan choice can suddenly become a complete deal breaker.
Okay, hold on. Before we dive into the restrictions, maybe we should quickly clarify for listeners. What exactly is a co-op in the NYC context? How is it different from a condo? Because it's fundamental here.
Oh, absolutely. Good point. Mm-hmm. It's crucial. In Astoria, like most of NYC, when you buy into a co-op, a cooperative building, you're not actually buying the apartment itself, the real property. Mm. You're buying shares in the private corporation that owns the entire building.
Shares.
Right. And owning those shares gives you the right to a proprietary lease, basically, the right to live in your specific unit.
Mm-hmm.
A condo, on the other hand, you do own the real property. You get a deed to your specific unit plus a share of the common areas.
And the co-op board.
Yeah.
They act like a gatekeeper, right?
Yeah.
Much stricter than condo boards usually.
Yeah. Much stricter, typically. They scrutinize buyers' finances incredibly closely because everyone is financially interconnected through that corporation.
Okay, so if co-ops are these private corporations with really strict internal rules, why do they almost always seem to say no to FHA financing? I mean, FHA is a government-backed loan. Sounds secure.
Yeah, it seems counterintuitive, but the source materials point to a couple of key issues. It's often twofold. First, FHA doesn't just approve the borrower. It has pretty strict requirements for the building project itself to get approved. And these FHA building requirements often clash directly with how NYC co-ops typically operate their finances and bylaws.
Like what specifically?
Things like FHA rules on minimum financial reserves for the building, or limits on the percentage of units that can be rented out, investor units or sublets. Co-ops often have their own, sometimes stricter internal rules about these things, especially regarding reserves and subletting.
So the co-op board doesn't want the FHA's rules dictating how they run their own building, essentially.
Precisely. The co-op usually has its own significant underlying mortgage on the entire building, a blanket mortgage. They need tight control over their shareholders' finances and the building's financial health to manage that. FHA rules can feel like an external interference that complicates their governance. So, because of that administrative headache and a potential conflict, most co-op boards in the city just have a policy. No FHA financing, period.
Wow. So, if you're seriously looking at co-ops in Astoria, and let's be honest, a lot of the more affordable, appealing apartments are co-ops, then the conventional loan basically becomes your only realistic option, almost regardless of your credit score or down payment potential.
In many, many cases, yes. The conventional loan path just has far broader acceptance for both condos and especially co-ops. It often becomes the default, almost necessary choice if you're targeting those types of high-density buildings common in Astoria.
Okay, that's huge. Let's talk about the second biggest story factor, speed and competitiveness. In a market where good places can get snapped up in days, maybe even hours, how does your loan type influence how a seller sees your offer?
This is a massive, often unspoken advantage for buyers using conventional financing. Think about it from the seller's perspective in a hot market. What do they want most?
Certainty. A quick, smooth closing.
Exactly. Certainty and speed. And our research, the sources we looked at, consistently suggests that conventional loans tend to close faster, sometimes by several weeks compared to FHA loans.
Okay, why? What makes the FHA loan potentially slower in the seller's eyes?
It often comes down to, well, perceived hassle and extra mandatory steps. FHA appraisals, for example, can be more stringent. They have specific property condition standards. An FHA appraiser might flag minor issues, peeling paint, a loose handrail that wouldn't necessarily hold up a conventional loan, but FHA might require them to be fixed before closing.
Ah, so repairs become mandatory.
Potentially, yes. So a seller looking at multiple offers, maybe one FHA and a couple conventional, they might see the FHA offer as introducing potential delays, mandatory repair negotiations, maybe even appraisal issues, just more uncertainty. Even if the FHA offer price is the same or slightly higher, that conventional offer often looks cleaner, faster, more like a sure thing. The FHA buyer can be at a real disadvantage.
So what does this all mean? Let's bring it together. If you're listening, getting ready to jump into the Astoria market, how do you figure out which path fits your specific situation?
Okay, we can kind of synthesize the main takeaways for the sources pretty clearly. Think about your primary constraint. If it's really about credit history, maybe your score is closer to that 580 mark, or your history is just limited. And if you're looking at properties that are FHA approved, like maybe certain condo buildings or a multifamily house, then FHA is likely your necessary path. It's your vehicle for entry into the market.
Got it. FHA for accessibility when credit is the main hurdle and the property type fits. And conversely, when is conventional clearly the better way to go?
Conventional wins out if you have a stronger credit profile, say comfortably above 620, ideally higher. It's also the winner if you absolutely need the flexibility to buy a co-op or maybe a condo in a building that isn't FHA approved. And critically, it's a better choice if your priorities are lower lifetime loan costs, because you can eventually ditch that PMI, and if you need that competitive edge, that speed, in Astoria's fast-paced bidding wars.
Right. That speed factor seems really crucial in this specific neighborhood.
It really can be. But regardless of which path seems right for you, the absolute first practical step, get pre-approved. Seriously. And that means getting your paperwork ducks in a row now. What do you need? Usually recent pay stubs, your W-2s, or maybe 1099s if you're self-employed, going back 2 years. Tax returns for the last 2 years. Bank statements, probably 2 or 3 months worth.
Get all that together before you even start seriously looking.
Absolutely. That solid, documented pre-approval letter is your ticket to being taken seriously when you find that perfect Astoria apartment.
Okay. So the core conclusion from the materials seems pretty clear then. FHA offers vital accessibility, especially for first-time buyers, maybe with thinner credit profiles. It gets you in the game. But conventional financing often provides that crucial competitive edge in the unique Astoria market, mainly because it can be faster and works for more property types, especially those co-ops.
And don't forget that removable PMI on the conventional side, that's the long-term financial win for a buyer who qualifies.
It is, definitely. But, you know, this raises an important question. The source documents mention this, and it's worth highlighting. You can potentially switch from an FHA loan to a conventional loan later on by refinancing. People do this specifically to get rid of that FHA MIP cost. So if FHA is your way to get access to the market now, how should you, the buyer, maybe plan that initial FHA purchase strategically? Like, should you be thinking from day one about maximizing your down payment even within FHA limits or aggressively working on your credit score right after you close, all with the goal of accelerating that refinance into a conventional loan later so you can start saving on that insurance cost sooner rather than later?
That's exactly the forward-thinking approach buyers should consider. It's about optimizing that FHA start, right? How do you structure it to minimize the time you're paying that mandatory insurance? It's not just about celebrating getting the keys. It's about having a plan for the financial transition after you're in. That's smart home ownership.
Well, this has been a great exploration. Thank you for sharing these source materials for this deep dive into Astoria's definitely competitive and complex mortgage landscape.